find us on Twitter. Just use the hashtag GLSShow. This is a generic live show with at the Dale King. Thanks for joining us here on a Friday, here on the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us. I really need to edit that. I'm going to write that down to edit that bumper. At the Dale Campbell, by the way, is my Twitter handle. Hashtag GLS Show is the hashtag, by the way. Thanks for joining us. Whether you're listening to us live or on your hard drive, we do appreciate you joining us. By the way, if you do want to join the show live, you can. We broadcast currently... until the end of February. We're going to be broadcasting in this time slot, 10 till 2 a.m. to 12 noon, at Friday mornings, Australian Eastern Standard Time, starting in March. What date would that be? That would be from the 2nd of March. We're going to be moving back to our original time slot of 10 p.m. to 12 midnight. Oh, on a Wednesday night. So we're going to be moving. We had to switch things around for the summer. Sorry. But there you have it. We're going to be doing that. We're going to be, 2nd of March, we'll be returning back to our original time slot of 10 p.m. to 12 noon. I don't know how that works out in American time. I'll have to get that for you. That's Australian Eastern Standard Time. 2nd of March is when we return back to. Now we're going to continue our coverage with this asylum seeker story. Just to recap on that, I do feel terrible that we couldn't cover it. I do feel bad that we couldn't cover it all first hour because of technical difficulties. Because whilst it's developing, it is still. It's a very, very rich story. Where we left off. Here we go, just to recap real quick. The High Court upholds Australia's right to detain asylum seekers offshore. Majority of full bench throws out challenge to government's powers, raising to prospect of deportation of 267 people, including 72 children from Australia to Nauru. So the High Court is not going to challenge the government's offshore. The High Court, yes, there you go. The High Court has ruled that the government's offshore detention of is lawful under the Constitution. Let's have a look. It wasn't an unanimous decision, though. It wasn't all the way across the board. So here we go. Justice Michelle Gordon stated that Section 198AHA of the Migration Act was, quote, beyond power, therefore invalid. And Justice Stephen Gagala, although agreeing with the substantive ruling, noted that the plaintiff's central claim that the Commonwealth and the Minister acted beyond the executive power of the Commonwealth by procuring and enforcing her detention at the Regional Processing Centre between March 24, 2014 and 2nd of August 2014 to be well founded until June 30th, 2015, when S198AHA was inserted with retrospective effect. The main orders were written by Chief Justice Robert French and Justices Susan Cathell and Jeffrey Nettle. They found that it was the government of Nauru that detailed the woman on the island, not the Australian government. The majority believed that the Migration Act authorised Australia's Memorandum of Understanding that Nauru would island and Australia's role in securing funding and partaking in the women's detention. Australia could participate in an offshore detention room as long as it served the purpose of processing people's refugee claim, the main orders said. That is where we left off last time on this story. Now, we'll get to the hashtag rant in just a second. But I think the main takeaway there Now, let's actually. Can I get a grab of part of the section, please? Right, here we go. This part of the section that is being brought into question. Thank you to my contributors this week. They were amazing this week. In getting the story, the stories together, and that's probably. See, it pays out in the show. Anyway, talking about myself in a story. So the Migration Act 1998, section 1958, rather, section 198 AHA, power to take action, etc., in relation to agreement or regional processing functions of a country. 1. This section applies if the Commonwealth enters into agreement with a person or body in relation to the regional processing functions of a country. 2. The Commonwealth may do all or any of the following: A. Take or cause to be taken in relation to the agreement or the regional processing functions of the country. B. Make payments or cause payments to be made in relation to the agreement or the regional processing functions of the country. C. Do anything else that is incidental or constructive, or conductive rather, to taking of such action or making of such payments. 3. To avoid doubt, subsection 2 is intended to ensure that the Commonwealth has capacity and authority to take action, without otherwise affecting the lawlessness of that action. 4. Nothing in this section limits the executive power of the Commonwealth. Action. In this section, action includes A. Exercising restraint over the liberty of a person, and B. Action in a regional processing country or other country. In this section, agreement includes an agreement, an arrangement rather, agreement, understanding, promise, or undertaking, whether or not it is legally binding. Regional processing functions, including the interpretation of any law or policy, or taking any action by country in connection with the role of the country as a regional processing country, whether the implementation or the taking of an action ensures that the country or other country. Now, okay. So basically, the Commonwealth can say, aha, so here's the argument. Okay. Aha. Aha. Cracked it. So here's the argument then. The argument is whether or not that the. Excuse me. Whether or not that the argument is that they can actually do, like, they can actually kind of, government can take power. Maybe, I don't know. I see, that's the thing though. Can the government take executive power? According to that section, they can. Basically, the Commonwealth can take power, or anyone the Commonwealth sees fit can take power. That's what I'm my interpretation of that. Should 260 people be kicked out of Australia, Australian territory? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that the High Court is right by saying that the government can take power. That's all this ruling was, by the way. That's all this ruling was, is that they took it to the High Court. The High Court said this section said that there was totally fine. That's what they're saying. That is what they're saying. So that's fine and all. But anyway, that's what that is saying. So we'll move on that. Of these 260, the majority moved to Australia to remove medical conditions are treated on. Out of this, 33 babies were born in Australia to asylum-seeking mothers. They have never been to Nauru. Ah, see here, there's the other, there's the interesting story. That are those people born on Australian territories, are they Australian citizens? I'm looking into the wrong camera. Are they Australian citizens? That is not for me to tell. I don't know. Like I said last hour, I know the Constitution. I'm not really. I've been to constitutional broker conventions. I've been to two actually, in a row. Rough, trust me, because the point of them is to try and rewrite the Constitution. which I don't think. I think the Constitutional Convention should be a place to celebrate the Constitution. Anyway, that's just my personal opinion. But let's get, because we've got about 5 minutes left in the section, let's get to a petition on the Action Network. The Action Network is labeled the hashtag Let Them Stay. Get to that. The petition is to Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull and Immigration Minister Peter Dutton. Right now there are 267 asylum seekers in Australia who the Immigration Minister Peter Dutton is threatening to send back to an offshore detention campus on Menace Island and Maroor. Among the 267 babies born in Australia, the kids are currently undergoing local primary schools. There are cricket fans, accountants and great cooks who fled terror to seek safety in our community. The 267 even include women who were assaulted on Nauru and now face their abusers. Tell the Prime Minister, don't send them. Sponsored by the asylum seeker. The letter says, to Prime Minister this is what you'll be sending if it goes through. To Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull and Immigration Minister from your name. We ask that you do not send 267 vulnerable men, women and children currently in Australia back to Nauru or Island. They will face an indefinite detention on tiny islands with no prospect of a decent life. There are serious risks of physical and sexual assault. Do not send them. This is by, like I said, this is sponsored by the Asylum Seeker Resource Centre, so I have powerful language in here. But let's get to the hashtag. Let them stay. Now, quite honestly, and I said this controversial statement on the air after the Paris attacks. There was hashtags thrown around left, right, and centre. Now, I'm a fan of informing people of the... why I do this show, that's why I do a two-hour talk show. Every single week, I want to... I want to do more. That's the point. I love talking. I love talking about the controversial issues. I love talking about the issues that matter most. But here's the thing. Don't need, or maybe you do need, in this day and age, you do need something to make sure a topic is sorted by one area. Like, okay, so say for example, if they used the hashtag no Nauru, for example, that does not have such a selling appeal as the Let Them Stay hashtag does. Trust me, it doesn't. No Nauru does not have the same ring to it as Let Them Stay, because Let Them Stay invokes an emotional response from people. Now, I said the controversial statement on the show when the Paris attacks that everyone was changing their Facebook profile picture to the Paris flag. Another word there that I would have had to bleep out. The flag with an L. I said the controversial statement that I was against that it was actually promoting terrorist attacks. Some people hated me for that, some people liked me for that. Trust me, I had a whole heap of people pull me aside on the street who listened locally and said, "What are you talking about?" But here's the thing. So, the Let Them Stay hashtag is designed to do that. And so was the Sydney Siege one, I Will Ride With You. Whenever we talked about the Sydney Siege, it was referred to I Will Ride With You. Because the I Will Ride With You had a much more emotional connection to people than the actual siege itself. We didn't use the hashtag Sydney Siege, we used the hashtag I Will Ride With You because it had that emotional connection of people coming together, etc., etc., etc. So, I think we need to stop invoking, yes, it is an emotional time, but what are we trying to say here? Are we trying to send a passionate message, or are we trying to send an emotional message? With a hashtag like this and other hashtags, this is not the only hashtag I'm having a go at, and I'm not having a go at 267 asylum seekers who will probably be being kicked out of this country, unrightly so. I say unrightly so, I know it's constitutional, and I know the government has decided that, and the High Court has ruled on it. Ethically unacceptable. So, and I know I'm probably going to be dragged to the fire for that, but thing is, are we sending a passionate message, or are we sending an emotional message? An emotional message will draw more results, yes, but a passion-filled message will send much more. It will send much more powerful of a message, because you can say a lot of things with passion. Emotion, you just let the hashtag do all the talking. What do you want to do? What do you want the talking to be? You want the talking to be on the message or the hashtag? Because I'm not okay with a hashtag doing talking for me. As we continue here on GLS with Dale Campbell. It's way too fired up about that. But it's true though, you know. It's true that what are we letting talk? Why are we letting hashtags do all the talking for us? Why can't we just send messages anymore? And you can use a hashtag to catalog things on Twitter and social media, because there's a lot. But what I'm saying is, Let Them Stay has a more of an emotional attachment, and you can just throw the hashtag out there without saying a passionate message. As we continue here on GLS, I'm barely wound up. As we continue here on GLS for a Friday, finally a Friday. Now, you know that Google, that Alphabet spun out of Google, or Google spun out of Alphabet. Alphabet's the parent company of Google now, anyway. How did they do in the fourth quarter? We'll tell you as we continue. 11:22. Find us on Google Plus. Just search The Generic Live Show and react. This is The Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Friday morning. Good morning. It's Friday. Know what that means. This is GLS. This is GLS. Thanks for joining us here on a Friday. Dale Campbell here with the radio. Yeah, I'm having a bunch of fun, you know. I like this show. The show is the best. I'm executive producer and host on the show. Wait, it's in here. My con. I have to say something. Thanks for joining us. No, I didn't. Google Plus. Twitter. No, okay. I can say that this is a good show. I enjoy the show. I like doing this show. But, you know. Conveniently timed Google Plus plug, by the way. A perfectly timed Google Plus ad, by the way. Google's parent company, Alphabet, posts record crashing fourth quarter 2015 earnings. Because of the, wow, has it been 3 months? It's been 3 months since Alphabet took the world. First time Google has reported earnings as multinational conglomerate Alphabet. Established Google's parent company last year. Alphabet reported a hefty $21.3 billion revenue and $8.67 earnings per share in the fourth quarter of fiscal year. Google, which technically is now one of Alphabet's many subsidiaries, was responsible for about 90%, 98% of its reported revenue at $21.178 billion. Alphabet crashed the expectations of analysts who predicted 77 million, 809 in earnings per share. Alphabet is the most valuable company in the world, with a stock market valuation of $553 billion. Do I have? I was just seeing if I have a money sound effect on. Although Alphabet is divided into several. Oh, sorry, by the way, surpassing, at least for the time being, Apple's $538 billion market cap. Although Alphabet is divided into several subsidiaries, its earnings is only split into two. Google designed for products. The garner profits and other bits. The more experimental money shot companies crafted to pursue Robert's alternative undertakings. Alphabet is strictly defined by two categories as follows: Google, search, ads, commerce, maps, YouTube, apps, cloud, Android, Chrome, play, as well as hardware products such as. Other bits, Access slash Google Fiber, Siasco, Nest, formerly Google Life Sciences, GE, formerly known as Ventures, Google Capital, X, formerly X, and other initiatives. As should be expected from a series of ventures that are highly active, Alphabet's other bits. Other bits subsidiary revenue brought home $3.6 billion operating loss last year. A $448 million report revenues. Most of that revenues was attended to Nest, Fiber, and Verity. Google, by contrast, owns its wealth largely to pay-per-click advertising. Although the such advertising generates per click is declining, the overall number of clicks is considerably more than compensating that for that decline. In other revenues, which include Play App Store as well as cloud services, Google report earnings of $2.1 billion, an increase 24% a year. Maybe Biggie was wrong. No money thus far does not seem to no problems for Alphabet, dude. It's gonna take over the world. Before not, we're gonna have Alphabet in our ear holes. Dude, there's Google Music. Oh no! We continue here on GLS, here on a Friday. Finally, a Friday. Well, are you gearing up for the weekend? Do you know how much is in your piggy bank? Blythe Palmer knows how much is in his piggy bank. He was busted counting money in the most inappropriate place. I'll tell you more as we continue. 11:31. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thank Thanks for joining us here on a Friday, here on the Generic Live Show for Friday. Thanks for joining us. It's great to be here, by the way. More SmackDown news coming up on the Geek IO Show, kicking off right after GLS. There is an hour break between us and Geek IO. Maybe because I have stuff to prep for Geek IO Show, because I'm a co-producer on that one. So, yes. It's the weekend. Well, the weekend's almost here. You've just got to get through a couple more hours of just working and rounding up work errands, unless you're me and have to work at night time. But the weekend's almost here. The weekend is almost here. So, do you know how much is in your piggy bank? Oh, you better start counting, because Clive Palmer counted his money, by the way. His bank account. A rather comical moment, and most Australians are shaking their head at Mr. Clive Palmer spent question time at Parliament counting his money in the... Ba-da-bum-bum. Boom. At the time when Mr. Palmer's former Mr. Palmer notes enjoying their text shopping ponder wistfully. A poignant moment for Clive to remind Australia has some perhaps. God. Okay, so here's the thing. I don't think I've shared the Queensland Nickel Show here on GL. I'd have. I think I did actually. I think I did share the but I think that, you know, it's so bad, you know? Why? You have time to do that in your own time, not during question time. And by the way, he's still probably going to go up for re-election. He's in his CDFX. He's probably still going to take that. He's probably still going to run for that. Our talks that he might not... Hey, Dick Smith can run in Fairfax now, so there, that's... I don't know what to think about this. I know some people that do stupid things during question time. As question time is quite boring, but you don't. Count your money. Money. Why must you do this? So frustrating. I'm not a fan of Clive Palmer. I think he's done some really cool. But apart from that, alright, American friends, stay with me here. Could you see Donald Trump counting his money on the floor of Congress? You could see that, right? Please tell me you can see that. Oh my god, that could totally happen. You know that could totally happen. I want that to happen so. But it makes you go, why? I don't know why. It's ridiculous. But he is still shafting people from Queensland. That's exciting. Meanwhile, on the flip side of things, and we are talking a lot about politics lately. I do apologize, but while on the... flip side, and I run sheet. What here in my run sheet? Hey, that was stupid. Let's actually, you know what? Oh, here we go. That's why I have a blank spot in my. I just realized why I have a blank spot in a, and it's quite terrible. cases double in Victoria. There were a number of suspected Salmonella cases linked to prepackaged lettuce almost doubled in Victoria. Victoria's Department of Health and Services reported 50 cases of Salmonella linked to prepackaged lettuce distributed by Victorian-based company Tripod Farmers. Figured rapidly growing since 28 cases on Thursday. That's why I have an empty slot in here. Anyone who bought any of the affected lettuce misses best before date leading up to February 14th. Out. Senior medical advisor Finn Gomez said on Thursday to the Victorian Department had assured that there were no risks associated with after that date. Tripod Farmers Managing Director Frank Roffo said that the company had been given the go-ahead by health authorities to resume business at its Birkus Marsh plant. We apologise to our customers, anyone affected by this recall, Mr. said this morning. He said that the recall only affected lettuce dates up into and include. Originally, the outbreak was said to only affect prepackaged lettuce sold at super light and easy customers are now being warned of the after some lunches on their will affect some lunches on their menu. Light and lettuce has dumped the lettuce supplier following the recall. Sandwiches sold at 7-Eleven have also been recalled. Minstrel Girls Grammar School said Salvaki and burgers to be sold at the camp Thursday. Some potentially tainted lettuce. Quote, we felt really unlucky about the whole thing. We ran out of lettuce and nipped down the road, acting school president Kate McLeod said. There were 18 Salvakis or burgers. Opposition leader Bill Shorten told reports in Frankston he liked lettuce, especially the dark stemmed kind. Quote, I'm sure Coles and Woolworths will get on top of this outbreak of food poisoning. I don't think they should give up lettuce because of Salmonella outbreak, he said. The cause of the outbreak is still it's normally caused by poultry and eating raw eggs. A doctor will usually take fecal samples to diagnose Salmonella. If treated positive, patients had to take fluids, often require antibiotics. Corona recovery to take up to 7 days. Thoroughly cooking foods can help prevent Salmonella poisoning. Lettuce, although hang on, using dirty or cracked eggs and wash hands thoroughly with water. Handling. If you experience any symptoms, big question of today, there will be an auto. So that's exciting. But yes, prepackaged lettuce, you can't really cook lettuce. But see, and this, I did see this yesterday, and I kind of went by the wayside. I think this is bad. This is. I think that we
shops right around the country, and particularly here in Victoria, have been affected by this recall. You can see behind me, we've got both a Woolworths and also an independent food grocer here in this Frankston shopping centre. And I've been speaking to Henry, the owner of the independent food grocer, who has had to direct his staff basically to get rid of 9 boxes of packaged lettuce that have been caught up in this recall. Now, there are some packets of lettuce from the Tripod Growers, which is the company that has been affected, that is still on the shelves here in Henry's shop. However, those packets actually have an expiry date over the 15th of February, and those packets are being considered to be safe. But take a listen to what Henry had to tell me here in Frankston a short time ago about what exactly he needed to do when the recall was issued.
Well, as we spoke with the boys in the market, they've told us it's all right to throw them in the bin. and they have fully refunded us all the crates and stuff with it. Tripod Farms, they always one of the best growers you can find for salad mixes and stuff. And just because of this incident, I don't think we are going to change our grower.
And it would seem, Liz, that customers here, while I haven't been able to come across many of them who indeed bite packaged lettuce, they are still concerned about this outbreak, given that, of course, this sort of packaged lettuce is a very common item that many people buy around the stores. Let's have a listen.
No. So thankfully we didn't have to worry about that. And especially me being 35 weeks pregnant, we just buy fresh lettuce.
No, I always buy fresh lettuce. I've bought two today. I just never would buy it in a bag, pre-packed, because it's just ridiculous and it's extra packaging.
On this lettuce, sometimes we've brought it and it says, you know, it's pre-washed, so, you know, a lot of people probably don't wash it, so, you know. That's probably a problem that could occur.
Now, Liz, all of this comes as, I guess, different outlets and companies that actually use this type of lettuce to create meals actually recall their products, including weight loss brand Light and Easy. It's actually been confirmed. It was tipped off by a talkback caller saying that she'd received an email from Light and Easy saying that a number of their meals in a number of states, except WA, have been affected. And I can actually show you right now, Liz, this is the brand that has been affected. Tripod, different types of packaged foods. In my hand right now is a packet that is in fact being recalled. So this in fact needs to go in the bin. But this one here, which is actually on the shelf, Liz, right now is safe. And it's because it has a use-by date over the 15th of February 2016.
I'm not on. Hey, unmute your microphone, Campbell. Yes, so it's scary stuff. It really, you kind of have to go, well, by the way, should I run downstairs? You know, microphone with me. Ooh, I'm tempted. I'm mighty tempted to just go downstairs and go. Because I had, here's the thing though, I had some of that lettuce. By the way, before it was declared an outbreak. So I might go downstairs during the next break and report back on if I have any infected. I might not add. So I had some of that. I had some pre-packaged spinach, I believe. It is on the recall list. The Woolworths. I probably don't really want to go there at the moment because of, you know, lots of complaining, perhaps, from the outbreak. Here we go. By the way, the following, okay, according to Woolworths, 18 hours ago, Woolworths took customer safety very seriously. The following advice from Health relating to a number of cases of salmonella resulting in consuming diet to Woolworths Tripod Farmers. They are recalling 5 salad products with the date on or before 14 in New South Wales, Victoria, ACT only. Okay, so it doesn't include 100 grams bag select fresh cut baby spinach, 100 grams select fresh cut salad mix, 100 gram bag select fresh cut baby rocket, loose baby spinach, other products or products in other states are not affected. Any customer who believes they might be suffering from a formal recall has been issued. Customers can remain return the products to any Woolworths store. There you go. Oh no, okay, no, breaking news. Ooh, okay. All states are affected, apparently. Yep, all states are affected. There you go. We've had an update. All states are affected. I'm getting out of there. Anyway, as we continue here on GLS, Taylor Swift, the singer, songwriter, country star turned pop star, is now trying her hand at something different. I'll tell you what it is as we continue. 11:50.
Got nothing in my brain. That's what people say. That's what people say. I go on too many dates, but I can't make them stay. At least that's what people say. That's what people say. But I keep cruising.
You finally found the most generic live show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on a Friday with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show, whether you're listening to us live or on your hard drive. See, there's a really good reason behind why I've breached copyright there. So, actually, that is not entirely accurate. If anyone wants to question me, I can throw music in this country. Ha! Legal loopholes. Gotta love it. But, you know, there's a reason why we've played Taylor Swift. And we don't like to play Taylor Swift on this show. We like to play things a little bit safe. Safe. But there's a reason why, and I am a bit flustered, but there's a reason. I'm literally waiting to be kicked off the... Anyway, there is a reason why we played Taylor Swift there. I like Taylor. I have a soft spot for Taylor Swift, I'm not going to lie. I think Taylor Swift is one of my guilty pleasures. That's exciting. You know, Taylor Swift's done a lot in her life. She's... I don't think Taylor Swift's been in it. I've missed it. But anyway, she's definitely done a lot of singing. She's a star turned pop star with her most recent album, 1989, and particularly with that song, Shake It Off. So that's really poppy. But anyway, Taylor Swift is going to be trying her hand at something totally different. She is following in the footsteps of Kim Kardashian. No, we are not getting a Taylor Swift porn tape that we know of. She is going to be having her own mobile game coming this year. It is from the same designers or developers as the people that brought to you Kim Kardashian's Hollywood game. Good news for iPhone gamers, Swifties, and fans of Kim Kardashian in Hollywood. Pop superstar Taylor Swift is parenting with Glue Mobile on a, quote, new one-of-a-kind digital gaming experience, unquote, which is slated for release in late 2016. Glue is no stranger to celebrity games. Not only did they have the company behind the Kardashians' uber-successful app, but they also released a Katy Perry game in 2015. While there are no details about the game itself were included in the release, it does seem that it may diverge a bit from Kardashians and Perry's, which both take the player on a journey to stardom. Quote, we realize that Taylor and her global fan base accept a new and highly differentiated mobile gaming experience, said Glue chairman and CEO Nicol Azzi in release. Quote, Glue is equally committed to designing a never-before-seen gameplay element that utilizes Taylor's unique creativity. Accordingly, we will spend the required development time to ensure that innovation is... It's a Taylor Swift game! No word yet of whether it'll involve songwriting, collecting squad members, or adopting cats, though. I really want it to be a squad collecting game, dude. That would be amazing. I could Taylor Swift squad. No, I want it to be more than that. I want it to be the full squad goals. I want that illusion in my life. I want the whole ideally I want the whole squad goals. I want the whole was she coming up with a Hemsworth or something? I think so. I want each level, by the way. I want the final level being how she's... I don't think she... But I want it to be about building her squad, and I want it to be all about squad goals. That would be amazing. I want that in my life. Trust me. I need that in my life. What I also want in is a Taylor Swift game. So iPhone users, look out, because it's coming to you. And you know, you can... Oh, I just had a thought. What if you shake the iPhone? I don't know why I'm doing that on camera. What if you shake the iPhone? You create a new breakup song. Right. I know the earlier... Do the newer iPhones have the shake capability? I don't know if they do or not. But... Gotta do what you gotta do. Thanks for joining us here on a Friday. Enjoy your weekend. Make it a great weekend for you and yours. It's 12 o'clock.
This has been a Chef Wonder Media production. For more, visit chefwondermedia.net. Delivered fresh to your ear holes. Copyright 2016.
FMA Geek IO production.
Copyright 2016.
Geek IO. Geek in, geek out.
Thank you. What's that?